Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. What do you do when someone tells you they don't see your value? For Becky Sampson, it sparked a 3.5-year legal battle, 21 subpoenas, and ultimately the creation of a mission-driven business that empowers women to advocate for themselves. In this episode, Becky shares how she turned adversity into advocacy and why your value should never be up for debate. If you've ever been told you're not enough, this conversation will light a fire in you. Let's dive in. We are back on the show today, and today I am super excited to have this guest, Becky Sampson. Welcome on the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Tori. You're awesome. We had a great conversation the other day, and I'm looking forward to another one. So.
I know. I always love the kind of what green room conversations that you have beforehand, because it's like the relationship's already been built. And so the conversation is that much more rich once you get on to the recorded live session.
Exactly.
So people don't know, for the people who don't know you, can you tell us about your personal experience, specifically the 21 hearings, the 21 subpoenas, and the 3.5 years that you spent in family court, and how you built a business around that?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I'm kind of maybe a little bit different than most people, but I've spent my whole last probably 15, 20 years of my life always looking to how do I serve other people? You know what I mean? Like what I've experienced, how can I serve other people? And 15 years ago, I lost 130 pounds and that kind of catapulted me into the coaching world and started helping people that way. But this shift, this recent shift, let me back up. It was, I'd been married before, got divorced. It was a pretty simple process, and then was single for 8 years and then ended up getting married for the second time. And I thought was going to be my last time. And ended up marrying a guy who we went to Hawaii on our honeymoon, the very last day of our honeymoon. He ended up getting an offer to come and do security out in Hawaii. And I'm thinking, what the heck? Like, we're actually like moving, like brand new marriage, and we're going to move to Hawaii. Like, wow. That's crazy. So long story short, about 4 or 5 months later, we packed up our house, everything, thinking that we'd stay in Hawaii for 2 to 5 years. And we get to Hawaii. He had actually gone before me because he needed to start his job, and I stayed behind to get everything ready. Yeah. Came out, and 4 months after I got there, he threatened divorce. Because I wouldn't sign a fraudulent tax return. And 10 minutes after, I'm like, I don't kind of do that thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm not that type of person. He just said to me, he says, we need to get divorced and we need to get divorced fast. And I was like, wow. So the very next day I sat him down, and at the time we lived on this beautiful beach. We had this corner. We could see the beach right from our apartment, and I took him out on the deck, and there was a table there. And I just said to him, I said, can you just please explain to me, like, what is it that you don't like about me, or what are your issues and problems that you have with me?
Yeah.
And it was funny because he started telling me, and I was like, whoa, hold on one second. Like, anyone that knows me knows I don't go anywhere without a notebook. Like, I always have one of these in my hand.
Yeah.
And so I went and got my notebook and came back, and he's like, oh yeah, write this down, write this one down, write that one down. And this is what I don't like about you. And this is what I don't like about you. And then the next thing he said to me was the best thing he could have ever said to me, which was, Becky, I'm having a really hard time seeing the value that you bring to my life.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. And luckily, I call it a God thing, but luckily God gave me the words to say, look, here's the good news. I know the value that I bring to your life. Whether or not you choose to see my value or not in this relationship is none of my business. And so it took about 7 months until he was preparing to leave the island. And I served him papers on April 1st, 2020. I didn't mean to do that. It just happened to, the world was shutting down that day, you know? And so it was like, look, if you want to get out. So I did serve him the papers at the airport on his way out. And so, I mean, that sounds really cold, but it was what I needed to do to take care of myself. And one of the things that my biggest prayer that day when I left him at the airport is that God, please keep my heart soft towards him during this process, because I had no idea what it was going to turn into.
Yeah.
And please keep my heart soft towards men, because that was so important for me that I didn't allow this experience to ruin me, but I wanted to become better. And I remember when I first started in the court system, my first divorce was nothing. We didn't even see the court. We didn't even see the judge. We didn't even, nothing. We just signed and we're done within 6 weeks. This one lasted 3.5 years, 21 subpoenas, 21 hearings. And let's just say he spent quite a bit of money in the court system fighting me. And in the end, I represented myself most of the time against 5 attorneys and I won. And so my nickname is Becky Brockovich. And so I remember going through the process because I was learning, I knew nothing about the court system and I researched and researched and researched. And at the time I was getting a degree in conflict resolution, peace building and mediation. Like
ironic, right?
I know. It wasn't that when he first left, but I switched it to that because I really could see this need of helping people through the divorce process. And part of it is when I was representing myself, I learned how to do subpoenas. And the reason why I knew how to do the subpoenas is because his attorney subpoenaed me. Instead of just asking me for what he needed, he subpoenaed me. And I was working with a legal aid attorney at the time that was kind of mentoring me. And he's like, well, there you go, Becky, there's your template. Like, go do what, go get what you need.
Yeah.
And I wasted 8 months out of my time to go to all these hearings and all of this stuff out of discovery, asking for what I needed. And he wasn't willing to give it to me. So I ended up just learning how to do subpoenas and I became an expert at it. And even when I finally turned my case over to an attorney, he's like, how in the world, girl, without being an attorney, did you get all of these subpoenas to respond to you? And I said, well, I couldn't afford not to have them respond to me.
Yeah.
So fast forward to now, you know, I'm now happily married for the third time and last, like that's it.
Yes.
We're done.
No more.
Yeah. No more. He's super amazing and the most amazingly supportive husband ever. And he's the one that really encouraged me to do this. Cause he's like, Becky, you need to go out there and you need to help people through divorce, because my big thing is that if you don't know your rights, then you don't have any rights. And for me personally, subpoenas is what allowed me to win my case.
Yeah.
And I say win, meaning it's a fair and equitable division. And many people coming out of divorce don't get that because they have no idea what they're even, I don't like the word fighting, but what they're advocating for
right.
for themselves. And 44% of women coming out of divorce end up in poverty. And that's like not on my watch. Like,
no.
I want you to know what your rights are. And men have rights too. I mean, that's the main thing is my husband was left after 27 and a half year marriage. My husband now was left with 21 cents in the bank. So it happens to men too. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's what I do.
It's crazy. Unfortunately, you're not the only one who has come up against this situation. And what I love about your story is that you not only advocated for yourself and you educated yourself and you took control of your situation, but now you're paying it forward. And that's the best gift you can give yourself and other people. And, you know, you often hear everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
And God puts things in your life and situations for you to learn from, for you to either learn for yourself or learn how to use it to serve and help other people. And so I love that this has not only helped you, but, you know, catapulted you into this new direction for your life and your business that's going to help so many people, men and
so
women,
many people
in this situation.
Yeah, because I don't think I was going to say this is when I was going through the process and it was hard. I'm not just like lightly saying that the 3.5 years was a piece
a
of cake.
Yeah.
I did a lot of internal work. And I was also getting my degree at the same time, but I remember saying to my mom, I said, Mom, there's a much, much, much bigger purpose of reason why I'm doing this. Because most people would say, Becky, just walk away. It was a short marriage. Just walk away, you know, move on with your life, build your life. But here I was in Hawaii and I was left with nothing basically. And he wasn't willing to, and I had gotten so far into it. I'm like, I have to finish this. I have to see it to the end.
Yeah.
I can't just give up now. And luckily it ended up, I mean, it took a lot of effort. However, now I always say my ex-husband gave me the greatest education he could have possibly ever given me. And when he said I didn't have any value, it was a really amazing moment for me to stand up and say, you know what? I am a value. And look at, even in the court system, I'm a value.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that's what I really feel like. And I don't think people even realize that they can subpoena. And I don't think that they realize the power. Now, I also don't recommend that that's right out of the gate. They go subpoena a bunch of stuff. Cause that's a very aggressive move. It's not something that I would recommend. If you can do it peacefully, if you can sit down and actually talk and mediate it, even that's the ideal situation. I just happen to be left with no other choice than to look, if I need the information, I'm not going to keep asking for permission. I'm just going to go get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about, I mean, the personal effects, how this affected you personally and in business. And, you know, I always talk about visibility as an internal, there's two approaches to visibility. There's internal visibility and then there's external visibility. And not allowing this to affect your internal visibility. Like, I'm sure that through the moment and at that time, there were times where you wanted to be quiet and not tell your story and, you know, kind of hide what was happening. But I love that you've taken your own personal story, given visibility to it.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, the next direction in helping you help other people and growing this business.
Well, and I think it's interesting that you talk about that, because when I was going through my divorce, and anyone that's followed me for years on social media knows that I'm very, very open and I share a lot of stuff. However, when I was in my court case, I went silent. Like, I really did. I only the people in my inner circle that talked to me day to day knew what I was going through. I could not afford to be public with it because I knew that he would try to use it against me. And so it's interesting, just even several months ago, for me to finally come out after all these years and be like, hey, this is what happened. So I think it's important. Everybody's different. There's one gal on TikTok right now that's sharing every moment of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And she's doing it respectfully. I actually have reached out to have her on my podcast, Divorcing Strong Podcast, because
Yeah.
I'm just like, girlfriend, you got it. Like I should have done something like that. And because what it does is it, when we're real and we're honest and we're in the moment, like people want to go with that journey with us. You know, they want to go on that journey. They want to connect. They want to live vicariously. That's something I've learned because right out of the gate, when I lost all my weight, I went very, very, very public, right? So here, I'll give you one really good example. There's a girlfriend of mine. Well, she's now a girlfriend of mine, but at the time when I first lost my weight, I was getting out there and I was just like networking like crazy, going to all these local events, taking pictures of everybody, posting them all on Facebook, every single person I met. And so like my Facebook was bombarded with, if you go back years, 15 years ago, you'll see like me with everybody. And this one girl like emailed me, this one gal, and she goes, "Who the hell are you?" I'm like, "Who the hell are you?" You know what I mean? And she's like, "You are with all my friends and I have not met you before." And I'm like, "Well, okay." So anyway, she ended up becoming a really good friend of mine and was on a couple of my shows and we did some stuff together and I went to her events but that's just, and you never know, right? You just never know who you're going to connect with. I'll give you another example since this is all about visibility. I was up in Idaho, visiting a business partner of mine and I stopped to do a video and at a park and, you know, I was just doing my regular, like, "Hey, this is Becky," you know, da 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 da. And you know, these people watched me, and then this gal, her name's Kelly, she came up to me and she's like, "Who are you? Like, what do you do? Like, what is this?" And I was telling her, and we had a really great conversation. Her and her daughter were there. I'm telling you, I've never met her in person ever again. But you know, she has followed me through, like, that was probably 10 years ago. And so when we share things, or when I share things, on social media or things like that, and I share personal things, but I'm just careful. I'm being sensitive to my own person, like my own privacy that I want, but then also wanting to connect with my people and saying, look, I am a real person. You know, you cut me, I bleed. You know, I do struggle. This is not just some perfect world that I live in. But these people, I feel like I have gained a huge following of people who love, trust, who are so supportive. If I ever needed anything, I'm like pulling my peeps. That's what I call it, pulling my peeps, and everybody responds. So it's like any relationship, you need, it's sharing authentically and talking to the point where they can relate.
That's the key to visibility is authenticity. And if you don't make yourself visible, then people don't know who you are truly, right? You just become a name behind a brand or whatever it might be, and there's no connection because connection is the key to relationships. You know, if people don't know you, like you, and trust you, how are they going to do a transactional business with you? Because you have to have that connection with somebody. And I think that's why visibility is so important to me. And like my own personal journey of visibility has catapulted me into the realm of helping other people with visibility because I see the importance of it and I know how it can change the dynamics and the connection when you start working with somebody, especially if it's, you know, a long-term, you know, relationship, a business relationship with somebody. You need to have that foundation of trust and authenticity, you know, that you gain through visibility.
And I think honestly, we're getting where we are, our eyes are getting really trained to fake. And so it's the more authentic and real you are, it's connecting. Like when I first started in this industry and I would go speak, I did a lot of speaking events and I would go speak and I felt very disconnected from the audience even. Like I just felt like, and I, you know, obviously went from one type of life to a whole new life now. And people would respond differently to me. But I remember a guy that I was dating, he's also a coach, and he came to me, he's like, "Becky, I'll tell you the reason why you're not relatable is because you're not telling the struggle. You're just telling the journey that you got there. And you need to tell them that you're still struggling." And I was like, what? I'm supposed to like tell him that?
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
like, and even 15 years later, I still struggle. I mean, it is, how do you motivate somebody from always being making it look like it's always perfect? And I've always wished that I could take somebody that's super successful and say, look, tell me the whole journey, because we sit there and compare ourselves to people online
Right.
that are very visible and think that they have it all together, but they don't necessarily share how hard it was to get to where they're at.
Yeah.
And so it's like sharing that part, which, and I've been wanting to, or I actually have been trying to share more of that online about how it is the struggles of building a business
Yeah.
and doing it and knowing that I have people out there waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting for me to bless their life. And I'm just like, I can hear you. You know what I mean? Like, I can hear you. We just need to connect
Yeah.
all the dots. You know what I
Why
mean?
is it such a misconception that you're not allowed to show your struggles, right?
Yeah.
Like it's so, and I don't know if it's like how we've been conditioned,
Yeah.
like what the economy and society tells us, but like you said, it's like someone almost, gave you permission to talk about the messy middle that you were in,
Right.
right? And I
Yeah.
think it's the more people who lean into that, the more successful, for one, they'll be, but the more people that they'll find who are like them. Because you don't want to see the vanity Instagram
Yeah.
scroll of perfection because we know it's not
Yeah.
real.
Well, and that's exactly the reason why we need to share it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's important. I mean, even among the coaching world, right? When we're networking and stuff, it's interesting how like, oh, I don't want to tell people I'm struggling and that I don't have any clients, or I don't, this or that, or we justify. And it's just like, look, let's just be real. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
let's talk about it, because
Yeah.
this is the reason why most people give up even being an entrepreneur to begin with,
That's
is
so
because
true.
they feel alone. I mean, I just had a conversation with someone this morning on a meeting that I was on, and I reached out to her afterwards because she's just like, look, I'm going to be honest. I'm really struggling in my business. And I reached out to her. I said, amen, sister. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? Like, this is why most people give up. Is because they hit resistance, and then the thoughts in their mind are like, oh, you're never going to do it. No one's going to ever want to work with you. Nobody believes in you. You're not good enough. You're not, smart enough. You're not all of this stuff. And if we're left to our own devices that way, I mean, it's the same thing with weight loss, actually. It's the same thing. But it's like, if we're left to our own devices, then we're going to feel like we're the only people in the planet that feel this way. And when I connect with that gal, I'm like, look, I get it. I get the mind crazy mind games that we play with ourselves to
Yeah.
keep us from the very thing that we need to do to get out there to bless and help people. Because
Yeah.
for me, with the only subpoenas, which was so amazing, I've been loving this process of like, I'm going to be hiring people, the stay-at-home moms. I think I told you that, the
Yeah.
stay-at-home moms and people coming out of divorce that need financial help, because I was struggling big time in Hawaii, left with nothing, and I was applying for 45 different jobs, and I couldn't get anybody to hire me other than the college that was paying me student rates, which was $10 an hour. Like, I've run a multi-million dollar business, and they were paying me 10 to 20, $12 an hour to do a podcast, two podcasts actually. And I'm sitting there going, are you serious? Like, that's the only job I can get here.
Yeah.
And I get the pain of when you're coming out of divorce, especially some moms that have been, that's all they've done is raise their family. They
Right.
don't know what to do at 58 years old. Like, a lady that called me the other day, she goes, what do I do, Becky? 58, and I've raised six kids. My husband's leaving. I don't have anything to do with the finances. And I'm like, all right, get a pen and paper. I
Yeah.
mean, this is what you're entitled to. This is, and I'm not giving legal advice because I'm not an attorney. I'm just like, here's the resources. Go research them on yourself,
Yeah.
and things like that. But it really gave me a passion to going, okay, if someone comes to me when they're going through a divorce, I will get them hired on if they're the right fit, get them hired on, start doing subpoenas immediately, because we do subpoenas for attorneys,
Yeah.
divorce attorneys really, but a lot of different attorneys. But get them doing subpoenas so they're making money, get them paid weekly, because we never know when we're going through divorce, where those expenses are going to have to come from. Get them doing that. Get them empowered and feeling like, hey, I can teach you how to do this, and you can be a part of the team and give you something to stand on, like a foundation.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it also helps the attorneys, because the attorneys get the information that they need in order to win cases, and it helps the people that they're representing because they're getting the information that they need in order to settle for
Yeah.
fair and equitable divisions. I'm not for taking more. Don't play that game in
Yeah.
my world. Don't play the gouge your spouse or your ex, soon to be ex, you know.
Yeah.
But I tend to be the type of person, when I think of a business idea, it's got to be a win, 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 win.
I
So
love
it's a
that.
win for the stay-at-home moms, the people that work for me, and I will bonus them big time for all kinds of stuff. You know, it's a win for me, because it gets me branding and builds my brand and builds my purpose and my mission. And then it's a win for the attorneys, and it's a win for their clients.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I couldn't be more excited, and it's tough getting it off the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And having you share that journey as you're going is not only going to help you, but help other people, listening, as we've talked about. I think it's so important.
Well, and people need to remember too, just because you have an important, because I've been in marketing for 30 years, right? I'm a graphic designer, so I've worked with a lot of marketing, sales type of things. And you can have a great product, a great service, but if you do not have visibility, if you do not have your billboard up there, nobody's gonna know that you even exist. And so marketing is one of the things that I've realized that in the coaching world, so many people resist, and they don't put the money in, they don't put the investment in, they don't realize that you're in the marketing space with a service or a product.
Yeah,
Like,
absolutely. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here.
I know, but I'm just saying. So it's really a shift in mindset. And I've told people just recently that I met with, I'm like, look, I don't have any problem investing money in marketing, because I know that's going to come back. And that's another reason why, instead of me, paying money to marketing, I'll pay my employees, right, to market and to also recruit.
Yeah.
So there's two different ways of looking at it. But overall, and some, I will say that people get overwhelmed with, there's so many different ways of marketing and getting visibility, right? Social
Absolutely.
media, that may not be your gig,
Yep.
but you got to find out what works with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that for me, that my business model is strategy first, right?
Yeah,
Because unless you
100%.
have a plan or a goal in mind, you can't execute in the right manner. And what one person thinks is a starting point may not actually be the starting point once you go through that strategy and look at all of the
Yeah.
elements of a business and what necessary what exactly is going to make that impact initially and first, and then you get to that maybe, idea to the second phase of your marketing strategy.
Right.
So it's so important.
Well, that's the thing, is I have a mind map where it has all my ideas, right? So
Yeah.
it's kind of like, okay, let's try this one, this one, this one, this one, and see which one pops. And then when I do that, then ride it deep that way. But it can be a very frustrating experience. But that's the reason why you have people that know what they're doing, right? Like
Exactly.
yourself, to be like, hey, that's the same thing with divorce. I call myself the divorce strategist, because every single divorce is different. I mean, it depends on, whether, hey, go mediate, go work on this, or hey, this is needs to be a little more aggressive. It just depends. And it's the same thing with business, as you're looking at all the assets, so to speak, within the business, and then you're going, okay, this is the strategy that we're going to have. Now, what are the tasks that we need to put in place in order to get that strategy to move, to get the business going? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like you and I can talk about this
I
forever.
know. Well, welcome to my life. That's why I podcast a lot.
This is my show. We'll talk forever,
Well, that's my strategy. I mean, that's one of my things, because I love talking, and I've done radio and TV for 15 years. So it's like, for me, that's what comes easy for me. So that's what I'm saying, is that you got to know what what lights you up,
Yeah.
because people will be magnetized to you when you're in that space.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
this just happens to be my jam. So.
I love it. Well, we're kindred spirits on that, on that level for sure.
And
Well,
I love that when you and I talked the other day that we get to explore the possibility of working together too.
yeah,
You know, because I
absolutely.
love what you do. You're just you, and I realize as an entrepreneur, I'm not going to be an expert at everything.
No.
So I need to get people that are on board that are going to be team members for me to
Yes,
build my
for
tribe.
sure. Yes, build that tribe, especially, as a female entrepreneur, I feel like that is so much more prevalent in building a tribe and a community, and
100%.
it's ugh, yeah,
We are
preaching.
community people, and all of
Totally.
us rise together as we work together. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll have us wrap this up because we could go on forever, but I
Yes.
want you to maybe talk a little bit about, to the listener who maybe has a personal experience similar to yourself that they're thinking they can use as a business or for their own visibility. Like, what advice do you have to that person listening who has kind of held on to this experience, and what can they do to take that next step to, make their voice heard?
Well, I always say, and I realized through my process or me meeting people for the 15 years, there are some people that don't want to make a business out of it. But if that's something that's called to you, there's definitely a lot of room in the world for that. And I will say every single person I've met in the divorce space is not woken up when they were kids going, I want to be a divorce coach. You know what I mean? Like, it's usually because of our pain that we now want to move it into profit and it's okay to profit. However, it's got to be from a service base.
Absolutely.
Because, well, and I haven't found anybody yet in this divorce space that it's not coming from the heart because it's so much pain that we've been through. But I would just get clear that, hey, is this something that you feel? And first of all, are you with whatever it is, the mess that you've been through, there's people out there that will pay you money for you to short circuit their problem. So it's really as simple as here's the problem. What's the solution that you would provide, or what's the method? What's your method, or what's your steps, or what's your strategy, or what's your, program that you would do? And I love doing strategy calls, like with people, get me a board. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions and like, okay, here's your product. Boom. You
Yes.
know? But there's so much room right now and in this space and the tools. And then my biggest thing is to get a team of people around you so that you're not doing it by yourself. Because
Yeah.
it really I'm in a unique situation where I can afford to invest in that team. And for many years, I wasn't in that place. And so I had to do everything my own. So I kind of learned a lot of things on my own.
Yeah.
But if you can engage people right away into being your tribe, I now have a VA. She's awesome. She's like,
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I need you to do this. Great. Take care of it. And community is really important, especially if you're a female,
Yeah.
Males don't tend to do that as much, which I really wish they would. But
I
they're
know.
just built different. Same thing with
Yeah.
divorce. There's not a lot of out there for men, and I'm considering starting a men's group, but just because there's so, I just see the need for it. But they need
Yeah.
men to coach men.
Right.
I
Yeah.
can, but we'll get my husband to that point, and then.
Yeah. I had a feeling that was on your master plan.
He's definitely not a coach, but he definitely feels the pain for somebody that's a male that's going through, and there's a lot of them right now in our life that I'm like, honey, he's just not there. We'll get him there. We'll get him there. But yeah, build your
The
team.
other thing I wanted to say, just as you were talking, it made me think about, like the other thing or other point I would make to these listeners is that they need to feel empowered. Like they need to feel empowered that they can take action. And like you said, if they are called to start a business based on a problem that they went through, and they can know that they can serve other people to help them, feel empowered to do that, because that is where the true benefit and the true magic's going to happen.
Well, you've been called to it for a reason. And I always believe, like what you said earlier, everything happens for a reason. It happens for us, not to us. And especially if you're one of those people that's been through something that's been difficult, and you know other people are struggling. For me, I literally for 15 years in different, you know, different entrepreneurial things, I have felt them like calling to me, Becky, come on, get your stuff together. Like, I need your help. And it's not about me so much, but it's about they're seeking for guidance. They're seeking for answers. They're seeking for someone that's been through this before and can give them hope. Really, when you peel all the, you know, the peelings of the onion apart, right? The layers of the onion, you really see at the very core is they need somebody to give them hope.
Yeah.
In whatever they're struggling with. Mm-hmm. And and if you're called to it, go for it. You know, go for, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I love entrepreneurship. Like, there's just so much opportunity out there.
Yeah.
And there's, you don't need a lot of people to make an impact. Mm. That's another thing that I think people think that, you know, because we're in the world, they're like, oh, go viral. But, you know, my business partner and I were talking about the other day, it's like, go viral, but does that pay the bills? And are you really changing someone's life?
Mm-hmm. The right person's life.
Right. And you know, Tony Robbins said many years ago that he's like, I don't need your money, you know, because he was charging a lot of money and for whatever program he was doing. He's, I need your commitment. And usually your commitment is attached to your money. And I found a lot of coaches in this world and in this space don't charge enough. So they're not getting the right commitment. And when they don't get the right commitment in whatever it is they're teaching, then they're not getting the results that they are getting. And so, and they're like, I can't charge that much. I'm like, well, you're going to get a higher quality of results from the people, the more that you charge, because they're going to respect your time and they're going to respect their time.
Absolutely.
I mean, I always say, look, don't waste my time. Don't waste your time. Mm-hmm. You know, be on time, like put the structure, you know, that's just, and we all have to be on our own journey. If you want to start somewhere low and then go higher, but I've been in this space long enough to see a lot of people struggle, and I see the struggle is attached to the level of commitment. And how can you get that person committed so that you can have the results that they need for them, not for you, but for them?
Yeah. Well, Becky, it has been amazing having you as a guest. Aww. Meeting you and connecting with you, building a friendship with you. And I'm just happy that we were able to share just a piece of your story so that the listeners can, you know, really learn from you and take your advice to heart and hopefully make something of it.
Again, it's just hope. And thank you so much. I appreciate you this is not easy. This is another thing that people don't realize is podcasts take a lot of work. And they are a labor of love. So
I was just going to say, a labor of love for sure.
Yes. Yeah. So you got to love it. You got to just love connecting and being able to serve and share with. So I appreciate Tori for the effort that you're making and the people that you serve as well.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you. And so if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach out?
Best way is my website, just beckysamson.com.
Awesome.
That's the easiest, and that can take me to only subpoenas, but also gives you my contact information. You can book a call with me if you want.
Yeah, definitely. Take advantage of that.
Yeah. And especially if they're going through divorce, I wish I had a lifeline for someone, you know, in that situation. So I take every single call that people reach out and book an appointment with me. And, especially if they're in crisis, cause I'm just like, okay, but let's just get you to the next step. So,
well, I appreciate you for all that you're doing. And thank you so much again for being a guest on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.